Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage speaks of the high value of a good reputation that is born of godly character, and God blesses righteous living. However, no matter how good a person is, they must seek refuge in Christ Jesus, because without His imputed righteousness, no one could stand in judgment before the holy God that created them without perishing. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 22 and follow along as Pastor Ray Viola begins today's study.
Character counts in the kingdom of God. The world's value system is completely opposite of the value system of the kingdom of God. We see that over and over, and our first verse tonight reminds us of that truth. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Of course, the good name, above all, is Jesus. Rather to be chosen than all the riches, all the money, all the wealth in the world, the name that is above all names. But here, the good name speaks of our desire should be that of having a godly, Christ-like character. It's worth more value than all the money in the world. Do you believe that tonight? That how you and I live, especially as believers, because once we come to Christ, people may not tell you this, but they watch you. You live your good old life, and nobody's going to really bother you. You name the name of Christ, and they look at you through 3D lenses. And to some degree, the name of Christ is attached to the character of His people. That's a heavy responsibility, isn't it? The Lord rebuked the nation of Israel because He says the pagan nations were blaspheming Him because of how they lived. You know, we talk about the National Day of Prayer, and the world certainly needs prayer, but judgment begins at the house of God. And we need prayer that our life would line up with the life that is recorded in Scripture. And a very important part of living a godly life in this godless world is could be summed up in the word accountability. Hopefully every one of you have someone or people that you are accountable to. If you're married, your accountability partner should be your husband or wife. If it's not, let's talk after the service. Now, accountability is great as long as you are making yourself accountable and talking about things through. It's very, very important. There was an old ancient adage that says every man has three names, one his father and mother gave him, one that others call him, and one that he acquires for himself. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth, if you are born again and spirit-filled in the name of Jesus Christ. If you are not, the day of your death is not better than the day of your birth. It's the worst day of your life. Notice in favor, loving favor more than silver and gold. The favor that is better than silver and gold in Scripture is basically the favor of God. Do a word study on the word favor, where it comes from, how valuable it is. In the Psalms, the favor of God provides life, it provides strength, it provides protection. Verse 2, the rich and poor meet together or have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Both of these states are in the order of God's providence, and both are equally important in His sight. 1 Samuel 2:7 says, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and He lifteth up. And whether you're rich or poor, you are going to stand before God and be held accountable for how you live. James 1:9 says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, like Lazarus in Luke 16. But the rich in that he is made low, like the rich man in Luke 16. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. That's our life. We live our lives like a tale that is told. Our life is like a vapor. We're here for a short period of time, but we spend eternity somewhere. Matthew Henry wrote, at the throne of God's grace, the poor are as welcome as the rich. In fact, the Bible says God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. Rather be rich in faith than rich financially. I'd rather be poor in spirit than have all of the wealth of this world. Nothing can be compared to the poverty of spirit and the wealth that we have in Jesus Christ. Verse 3, a prudent man foresees the evil or danger and hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. The simple just ignore the warnings, ignore the danger, but they suffer the consequences. Proverbs 14, verse 15 says, the prudent man or the prudent person looks well to his going. God has been warning mankind in the scripture that his son Jesus is coming again. And the warning has gone out. And what do we do with the warnings in Scripture? Well, they're to provoke us to live a certain way, don't they? The warnings in Scripture do not cause us to yawn or walk carelessly, but to walk circumspectly. I think of prudent Noah, who is recorded in the Hall of Faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, what? A fear of God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. When Paul wrote to the young church in Thessalonica regarding the imminent return of Jesus Christ, he exhorted them to be prudent this way. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 and 6. You are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, because we are born again, because we are children of the light, we are exhorted not to sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Are you watching? Are we watching? I'm not asking if you're watching the news. Are we watching? Are we sober? Are we alert? God has told us that his son is coming, and he is going to come. We are told to walk circumspectly, carefully, not carelessly. The theme of being prudent is found several times in the Proverbs. The prudent man foresees the evil, and he hides himself, takes refuge. We need to take refuge in Jesus Christ. If you're not born again, you need to take refuge in Jesus Christ. But the simple pass on. How many times have you heard this reply when you tell people Jesus is coming soon? Oh, we've heard that so many times before. And the warning that may have one time been as loud as that call to 911 becomes quiet. Because when a person ignores the warnings of God, their ears become dull of hearing. And when the Lord comes, he's going to come not as the lamb, but as the lion. A lot of people only think of Jesus in terms of the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Praise God for that. But he's also a lion. And he also comes to exercise wrath on those who disobey the gospel. We need to have a full Bible portrait of our God. From A to Z. Because he is all of that all the time. So may God give us the prudence that we need to understand the times and to seek more than ever to press into the Lord. How many of you know this is not the time to be pulling away, but to be pressing in more than ever? Verse 4. I think this should be a bumper sticker. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. I love that. Some translators say the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches in honor and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord. A person cannot be fearing God, worshiping God, trusting God, obeying God, serving God, and then have a secret, private, carnal life. It just doesn't work like that. Just doesn't work like that. The fear of the Lord. Well, right at the beginning of Proverbs, we're only 7 verses into the book, we read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's a place to start. That's one of the ABCs of Christianity. That's one of the ABCs of walking with the Lord, fearing God. He's a holy God, isn't he? Isn't he to be feared and reverenced? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the ABCs of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Notice what it's at the top of the list, pride. I'm wiser than God. I'm smarter than God. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy. Knowledge of the Holy One, that's understanding how we need a fear of God. And when we fear God, we will truly be walking in humility. Because we don't see who we are until we see God for who he is. Amen? Remember the prophet Isaiah? God anoints Isaiah, the prophet, and he gives all of these woes in the first 5 chapters. Woe, woe, woe. And then he's in the presence of God and he says, woe is me. That's poor in spirit. That's what happens when a person is born again. When they see God for who he is and in comparison see us for who we are. Woe is me. Sinners by nature, sinners by choice. The fear of the Lord comes, gives us, that teaches us to walk in humility. Walk in humility, depending on his grace, his power. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life, what real life is all about. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. The word froward there means obstinate, willful. He that does keep or guard his soul shall be far from them. It's only by walking on the narrow path that leads to life that we can avoid the snares of death. Jesus tells us what some of those thorns are that clutter and snare our souls in the parable of the sower. Luke 8:14, that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and they are choked. Here's some of the thorns. The cares and riches and pleasures of this life. We don't think of them as thorns, do we? But they are. Thorns and snares. The cares and riches and pleasures of this life that causes us to bring no fruit to perfection. Mark 4:18, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the anxieties of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in, and what does it do? Choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We need to be careful of the path that we're walking on, beloved. Proverbs 13, 14, Proverbs 14, 27 warn us about steering clear of the snares of death. How do we know what the snares of death are? Well, we've got the Word of God. You want to know what they are? God, show me. What are those thorns? What are those snares that you tell me to be aware of? Verse 6, train up or direct a child in the way he should go, or in keeping with their individual gift or bent. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Hebrew word for train can also be rendered initiate or dedicate. It's a word that can be used for consecrating something. And in this case, your children. Most of us, if we were married as Christians, as soon as those babies were born, what did you do? Well, mama gives birth to the baby. The doctor gives the baby to you. You give the baby back to mama. And you pray, Lord, take this child. Take him. Take her. Use them for your glory. And you know what happens? You put a mark on that kid's back. Because the enemy comes in like a flood to try to steal their soul. Train them up in the way they should go. You know, every child is fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't you wish that your children came with a manual like your car? Whenever they do this, go to A. Oh, okay. But not only that, every one of them is different. And what worked for him doesn't work for her. And what worked for them, so it's really a lesson, isn't it? Parenting is not for wimps. And each of them are fearfully and wonderfully made. And there's something to be said for finding out what their bent is, what their strength is, and seeking to train them in that way, acknowledging their gifts, using them for the glory of God. And of course, just going through the Proverbs and teaching them practical truths about the kind of people to hang around with, the things to do, the things not to do. Just go through the Proverbs. It says, my son, my son, my son. You could easily put my daughter. Very, very basic Christian truths found in the Word of God. The main duty of parents is not only to raise them up in the Scriptures, and it is the parent's primary responsibility to raise up the child in the Scriptures. Now, the church can only supplement it, that. But the responsibility of the parent is, Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise into salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I think that we've underestimated the ability of a little child to receive the Word of God. I love it when children sit with their parents. I really do. People say, are you distracted by kids? No, I'm more distracted by guys my age that get up and go to the bathroom 10 times than a kid. Because they can hear the Word of God. They can receive the Word of God. Never underestimate the power of God's Word to go into a soul or a spirit that hasn't been tarnished by the things of this world. That's the primary responsibility. Secondarily, we're in the process of praying, Lord, just help us to revitalize, you know, our children's ministry, that it would be vibrant and Godward and God-fearing and biblical, not playing these games. Sunday school with children is not for little games, you know. It's to learn the things of God. You know, inside the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., along the stairway on the inside of that historic monument of our nation's history, Proverbs 22:6 and some of their Bible verses are inscribed. We have lost our way as a nation. You know why? Because our government, our educational system, wants nothing to do with a faith-based biblical worldview. In fact, according to them, it's non-existent because it is not factual. Can't be proved in a laboratory. We've lost our way because we've told God that we don't want him. We don't want you in our public schools. We don't want you in the public arena. Jesus said that it would happen, and it's happening. Verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is the servant of the lender. It's a tragic thing when a person gets over their head in debt for whatever reasons, because now that person becomes indebted to the lending institution or the person who loans them the money. He that sows, and the word sows is like a farmer planting seed. He that sows iniquity shall reap vanity, calamity, and futility, and the rod of his anger shall fall. Now, because we have been created in the image of God, we have the capacity to make choices. Good choices, bad choices. Now, you can choose to sow to iniquity, but you don't get to choose the consequence. And I can tell you, however the enemy lied to you about what your reward will be by sowing to iniquity is nothing more than a lie. The wages of sin is still death. Job 4:8 says, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Why did Jehovah declare that Israel was an empty vine? Hosea 10:13 says, because you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you did trust in your way and in the multitude of your mighty men. Now, you know, it is possible for a Christian to sow to the flesh. How many of you know that? Now, this flesh, we have this remaining corruption of sin in our flesh. It's there, and it's a battle. It's identified in Scripture. It's like you and I are a walking civil war. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so we are sowers. We can either sow in the Spirit or sow to the flesh. Haman sowed anger against Mordecai, and he reaped anger from the king. Haman wanted to kill Mordecai and the Jews, and the king killed Haman. He reaped what he sowed. But what he reaped was worse than what he sowed. The devil never tells you this. Oh, do this. Try that. Go here. You'll get away with this. No, you won't. No, you won't. Talk about sowing. The Proverbs talks about sowing discord. Talks about sowing strife. And that's all recorded in James chapter 3. We've seen it over and over again, haven't we, going through Proverbs, of how much trouble this little thing can get you and I into. How many of you know you don't have to say everything that comes to your mind? How many of you know that? How many of you know that it's probably wise not to say everything that comes to your mind? Rather than open your mouth and dispel everybody's doubts about how unwise it was. There's two fires upon the tongue. Pentecost, heavenly language, language from above, and then the fire from hell. And it is my personal conviction that sins of the tongue have done more to destroy the lives of many people in churches than alcohol and drugs combined. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.